Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time we're tackling this fascinating book called Creating a Productive Workspace.
Ooh, I love this book.
I think a lot of us are really interested in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we spend so much time in our workspaces.
Yeah.
Whether it's a home office or an actual office or, you know, wherever it is, that you do your work. So it makes sense that we would want to optimize it, you know, to make it the best possible. And I feel like we could all use a little bit of help in that department, right?
Absolutely. And this book is really good for that. It kind of gets past the surface level stuff and digs into the psychology of what makes us actually productive.
Yeah. What really stood out to me was this whole concept that clutter isn't just like a visual thing, right? It's not just about being tidy or organized.
Yeah.
It actually like overloads our brains.
Yeah, the book actually references a study from Princeton University that shows that physical clutter actually competes for our attention.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it harder to focus and process information.
That makes sense.
And it's like having all these open tabs in your brain, but instead of web pages, it's random objects and piles of paper and all that stuff.
I can totally see that. For me, if my desk is a mess, I feel like I can't even think straight.
Absolutely. And that's why the book really emphasizes decluttering as like the first step.
Yeah.
And they have this really interesting technique they talk about called the four box method.
I like this.
Which is basically you take four boxes and you label them trash, donate, keep, and relocate.
Oh, that's simple.
And you go through everything in your workspace and you make a very quick decision about where it belongs.
So it's not about like agonizing over every little thing.
Exactly. It's about momentum.
Yeah.
Trusting your gut and just getting it done.
So you don't have to be perfect.
No. And the book argues that even just the act of decluttering,
right,
even if it's not perfect, can create this sense of control and clarity.
Oh, like that?
It's like clearing out the cobwebs, both physically and mentally.
So we've decluttered, right? We've got rid of all the junk.
Yeah.
What's next? Does the book tell us to go out and buy, you know, all these fancy organizers? And
well, it does talk about organization.
Yeah.
But it actually emphasizes something more fundamental, which is creating designated zones for different types of work.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing that our brains work better when we have clear spatial cues for different activities.
So instead of trying to do everything at the same desk,
right,
you know, you would have a dedicated area for deep work.
Exactly.
And then a place where you could do creative brainstorming.
Yes.
Maybe even a specific spot for taking calls or something.
Precisely. And the book uses this really interesting analogy of a chef's kitchen.
Oh.
You know, you wouldn't shop vegetables in the same spot where you're baking a cake, right?
Right.
Each task has its own designated space and its own tools.
Yeah.
And so our workspaces should function in a similar way.
Okay, so we're not just tidying up. We're really like designing a workspace that supports the way our brains work.
Yeah.
I love that.
And speaking of creating the right environment, the book spends a surprising amount of time on the topic of lighting.
Yes, lighting. This is something I struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
Because some days I feel like I'm working in a cave.
Uh-huh.
And other days it feels like I'm under a spotlight.
Interesting.
You know, and it's hard to find that right balance.
Yeah, and you're not alone. A lot of people struggle with lighting, but the book actually breaks down the science behind how different types of light impact our mood and focus.
Okay.
So, for example, it talks about how blue light, like what we get from our screens, can actually suppress melatonin production, which makes it harder to wind down at night.
So that's probably why I feel wired even when I've like stopped working for the day.
It's definitely a possibility. And so the book recommends using warmer toned lighting in the evening to kind of help signal to your brain that it's time to relax.
Interesting.
It even suggests things like, you know, dimmers and smart bulbs so you can adjust the lighting throughout the day.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's like creating your own personal sunrise and sunset in your workspace.
I like that.
Yeah.
A little bit of control over nature.
Exactly.
In your own little world.
Exactly. It's not just the type of light, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's also where it comes from.
How's
so
that?
The book talks about the importance of natural light.
Oh, yeah.
How it can boost our mood and our alertness.
I can definitely relate to that. I feel much more energized when I'm working by a window.
The book actually recommends positioning your desk perpendicular to a window.
Oh.
So that way you get that natural light without the glare directly on your screen.
Interesting.
Just these little tweaks can make a difference.
Yeah, like you're really designing the space with intention.
I love that.
You're like an architect of your own productivity.
Exactly. And speaking of design, the book dives into this often overlooked element of personalization.
Okay. I'm curious about that. Does this go beyond like just choosing a nice desk lamp or a cool mouse pad or something?
It goes much deeper than that.
Okay.
It talks about surrounding yourself with objects that inspire you, that connect to your values and your goals.
Okay.
You know, it could be anything from artwork to photographs to travel souvenirs,
Right.
maybe even a collection of meaningful books, anything that speaks to you.
So it's about like infusing your personality into the space, making
Exists.
it feel like a reflection of who you are.
And the book actually cites a study that found that people who personalize their workspaces report higher levels of job satisfaction and well-being.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for creating a space that feels like your own, especially if you're spending, a good chunk of your time there.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, even with a perfectly designed and personalized workspace,
Yeah.
distractions are inevitable.
Oh, absolutely. Like distractions have a radar
Right.
for when you're just about to get into that flow state.
Exactly. And the book acknowledges this, you know.
Okay.
It dedicates a whole section to strategies for managing distractions, both external and internal distractions.
Let's dive into that. So, what are some of the key takeaways for those external distractions?
Well, the book emphasizes minimizing noise and interruptions.
Okay.
So things like noise-canceling headphones, creating visual boundaries if you're in a shared workspace,
Yeah.
even establishing office hours so people know when you're available and when you need to focus.
That office hours thing is so helpful, especially for people who work from home,
Absolutely.
because it's easy to get pulled into all sorts of stuff,
Right.
if you don't set those boundaries.
You become the go-to person for everything.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's about protecting your time and attention.
Okay.
And then there are those internal distractions,
Right.
those thoughts that can just kind of derail us,
I know those all too well.
lead us down those rabbit holes of procrastination.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like my mind is a browser with like a million tabs open.
And the book actually suggests borrowing a technique from web browsers,
Oh.
which is tab management, being mindful of what tabs we have open in our minds,
Interesting.
and intentionally closing the ones that aren't serving us in the moment.
I like that. So it's about recognizing when our thoughts are kind of wandering off and gently redirecting our focus.
Exactly. And the book offers a few practical techniques for doing this, like mindfulness exercises, short meditation breaks,
Right.
even just taking a few deep breaths to reset.
Oh, yeah. I love that, like incorporating these little mini mental breaks into your workflow. It's like hitting the refresh button on your brain.
I love that. And speaking of refreshing routines,
Yeah.
the book also emphasizes the importance of establishing rituals
Okay.
that support our work habit.
I'm intrigued by this idea of rituals. So, what kind of things does the book recommend?
It's really about finding what works for you.
Okay.
It could be something as simple as starting your day with a cup of tea and reviewing your to-do list,
Okay.
or taking a short walk outside to clear your head before diving into a complex task.
Right. So it's about creating those little moments of intention
Yes.
and transition throughout your day.
Exactly. The book argues that these rituals help to signal to our brains that it's time to shift gears, whether it's from relaxed mode to work mode or from one task to another.
Right, like creating a mental roadmap for your day,
Exactly.
especially for people whose work is, can be quite fluid and unpredictable.
For sure, finding those moments of structure
Yeah.
and intentionality within the chaos.
I love that. And the book stresses that, creating a productive workspace isn't a one-time project.
Right.
It's not like you achieve this perfect setup and then you're done,
Definitely not.
you know.
It encourages us to view our workspaces as evolving entities, reflecting our changing needs and goals.
Like it's a living organism almost.
I love that.
It needs to be nurtured and adapted over time.
And our ideal workspace might look different in the summer than it does in the winter, or
Right?
as we take on new projects or shift our priorities.
It's about being attuned to your own rhythms
Yes.
and making adjustments as needed.
And you know what really struck me about the book is that it goes beyond just tips and tricks for boosting productivity.
It's okay.
It ultimately frames creating a productive workspace as an act of self-care.
That's an interesting perspective. So, how does the book connect those two things, productivity and self-care?
Well, it emphasizes that our workspaces should be places that support our well-being,
Okay.
not just our output. It's about creating an environment that allows us to do our best work,
Right.
but also to feel energized, focused, creatively stimulated,
I like that.
you know?
It's not just about getting things done. It's
Yeah.
about, creating a space where you can thrive.
Exactly. And it even suggests like incorporating elements of nature into your workspace.
Well, interesting.
Things like plants, the, natural materials,
yeah,
even just a view of the outdoors,
right,
because there's research that shows that exposure to nature can reduce stress and improve cognitive function.
That makes sense. Yeah. I always feel more relaxed and focused when I can see some greenery. Or even just like some natural light streaming in.
Yeah, it's those little touches that can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious, now that we've gone through all this, what is one small change that you are inspired to make in your own workspace?
Well, you know, I've been meaning to declutter my digital workspace for ages.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I'm inspired to finally tackle that overflowing inbox.
Yes.
And see if it brings some mental clarity.
I think we can all relate to that.
For sure.
This has been so fascinating. I feel like I have a whole new perspective,
right,
on how to create a workspace that really works for me.
I'm glad.
You know, it's not just about being organized or efficient.
Right.
It's really about, you know, creating a space that supports my well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And allows me to do my best work.
Exactly. And it's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
Likewise.
And remember, your workspace is a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
So make it a space that inspires and energizes you.
Great advice. Until our next deep dive. Happy organizing, everyone.